Live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
Chicago's new home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000, WMVP Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cubs trail 5-2, ninth inning. Jesse just sent me another. I gave you the runners in scoring position stat. They're 0 for 7 today. 7 for 82 on the season. Jesse said, here's a new stat for you. Cubs are hitting 0-96 with two outs this year.
Is that so good?
It's not good. It's basically right when they get two outs, it's three outs. It's basically like they quit, and they just give up. I've never seen anything like it. It has been, the names on the back of the uniforms are so much better than so many of these Cubs teams. But yet, they are the worst hitting team of this amount of game stretch in Cubs history, worse than any of these other crappy Cubs teams.
I can't remember a time when you expected less from the Cubs once the game begins. I mean, honestly, the offense... Like I can't remember a time when I felt it was less likely that they were going to do something good. Like at no point during this game did I ever feel like they were gonna get hot.
But you told me before the game that you would play the Cubs today.
I would play them.
Why? Yeah. But so you're just telling me at no
I'm
point do
value.
You feel like they're a threat.
Value.
Well, they were a favorite today okay. when the minor leaguer got called.
Right. So I didn't. What I'm telling you is if I find value with the Cubs, someday they're going to beat a good pitcher.
Right. So, like, if you say this weekend they're plus 170 or something, you would gamble on the Cubs.
I'm not throwing a G on them.
What are you throwing? A unit?
Yeah, and that's like $5 or $10.
I thought $10 is our unit.
I'm a $5 unit guy.
Oh, I'm a $10 unit.
Well, you're a big shooter.
Carmen's unit, I think, is 100. Isn't it?
I thought it was 50.
Is it 50?
Maybe it's 100. I don't know. You tell
I didn't know
me.
We were out here exposing units.
You're telling me you're riding with his pick. You're riding his pick. So you tell me what is.
We've done this before, but I forgot. What is the size of your units when you guys gamble?
I don't tell you the size of my unit.
Yeah,
it's a personal information.
I don't understand.
We never answer that.
Because well, that's
I don't,
how
I don't
it
understand
is.
The type
expose,
of guy that asks someone else's
I
unit.
I gamble what I gamble.
But if you just say, hey, I bet a unit on this,
I
no one knows what that means.
But I don't say that to anybody.
Yeah, I think you're the only one concerned about this.
You guys sound like you
very
guys sound like Ryan Pace.
Because this isn't the first, like...
Ryan Pace is in there.
Waddle forgets things from time to time. We get that. He went over the middle. He gave up his blood, sweat, and tears for this city. We get it. Sylvie, what's the excuse?
I don't know.
We talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
I know. I'll remember now that you guys don't publicizing the size of your unit.
No, I mean, it's just I didn't know that that's something people do.
I haven't. This
hey,
is
bro,
all,
what's your unit?
This is all
hey,
new.
Hey, what do you lift?
The gambling's all new for me.
I don't sell my picks, so I'm
bench,
not going to tell you what like my unit size is.
What
if you want to gamble,
why
what
does
I gamble?
It matter?
What?
Why? I mean, like, you're...
How much money you got in the stock market?
Yeah, what are you moving?
Exactly.
Yeah,
how much money do you get paid? How much money do you get paid? How much money do you get paid to read DraftKings? Exactly.
I don't even know.
Exactly.
See, that's how... Don't do that.
What?
You don't even know.
I don't know exactly. I don't.
You're awesome.
I don't know exactly.
No, I know. That's awesome. I'm saying that's great to not even know.
But, like, we're talking about something different. We're talking about something entirely different.
I text now with friends more than I have at any time over gambling. Because now, like, these games, and it's not, again, you got to gamble responsibly, all right? Like, I hear these PSAs. I don't throw much money. But this entertains me.
Yeah.
It really gives these games some more juice. And now tonight, a game that I normally wouldn't care much about, I put $15 down on a big $15 down on betting Vooch tonight, going over 24.5 points.
Listen, I get their point about their privacy. I am a little bit surprised with the fervor with which they
very passionate.
I can just draw a different. I can draw the line between how much money I have in the stock market versus
Bitcoin
how much
you got. How much Bitcoin you got?
I own Bitcoin in a fund. I don't own it. It's just
how much
like
you
Bitcoin
got?
Itself.
How much you got?
All right, let's get to Whale Pop.
500 shares of the Bitcoin mutual fund.
Do you have your Hawk Auto Group who sponsors, partners up with the Michael Wilbon?
Yeah, and I drive their cars. Did you know that?
I do. Yeah. And you got some pictures on that car.
Michael is brought to you by
pics on the car.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
All right, Michael. So where is your level of anger or disappointment on the Chicago Cubs and their lack of offense this year?
It's the same place it was last year. It's like they just picked up where they left off. They can't hit. They're the hitless wonders. How many times have people been hit, a team been hitless wonders like 3 years in a row? Because that's what we're looking at. I guess I'm kind of numb to it. It's like the Bears not having a quarterback. It's sort of the same thing. Like, why can't the Cubs hit?
You know, it's funny.
How many solutions have we gone through proposing?
The one thing I would say, Mike, the difference is we've never had a quarterback here. But this is a Cubs team that if you look at some of the individual pieces, they have hit. Like, so to answer your question,
yes.
I can't remember a time when I've seen a group collectively be as inept that does have a history of being more than a little bit impressive at the plate.
Yes, including clutch. So yeah. I think it started in 2017 when they had these crazy games. We could go back and look it up, where they would score 13 runs on Monday and then get shut out on Tuesday. Score 12 runs on Wednesday and get shut out Thursday. And that, to me, is just mental. That's just lazy. Like, somebody did – that's when that was that period when we were moving up to the point where I just thought the Cubs don't have the fire. Because, and I'm very reluctant to go to that because I think it's too easy a bailout explanation too many times for people, teams. But that's when, you remember they came out of that All-Star break where the Pirates had hit the Cubs a bunch of times, and I wanted the Cubs to come out and literally throw at every single Pirate hitter.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Sylvie was trying to talk me out of it.
Yeah.
Sylvie, this is where that goes. If you have people that you've seen produce, and they're allegedly physically healthy, they're not injured, and they don't produce, I'm like, you know, somebody's got to go to the whip hand. And we thought that may have been the case when they were changing managers with Joe.
Right.
But it's the same junk. It's the same thing. Where's the fire we saw in 16 and the first half of 17?
Let me quiz you guys, okay? Because I got this stat from Jacob Nitzberg, who works at ESPN Stats and Info. And this goes into exactly what you were just saying, Michael. The big game scores that they would have would be offset by a 0, 1, or 2 run game that the Cubs would have.
Right.
So I asked Jacob Nitzberg where the Cubs rank in Major League Baseball in the last 3-plus seasons now. So this includes 18, 19, 20, and so far this year in 21. And I said, where do they rank amongst all Major League Baseball teams as far as scoring only 0, 1, or 2 runs in a game?
I'd say they rank first overall in terms of the number, the team.
Now,
that
remember,
has
this has been a division championship team.
Yeah, I know, but
with
they
a lot of
bunches.
Crappy teams in baseball.
Okay, but the question you asked it in a way that leads me to think I'm just going to go all the way out and say first.
Where do you think?
I'm going to say second or third. I can see the Marlins and the Orioles having been first in a couple of those seasons. I'm going to say third.
All right, so they are eighth. So then it doesn't have the impact that I thought it would. But here are the teams who have scored more games of 0, 1, or 2 runs. The Cubs, by the way, in the last 3-plus years have had 126 of those games, okay?
Ooh.
Now listen, listen to all these teams. Every one of these teams, the seven teams above them, are all teams who have gone through a rebuild in the last 3 or 4 years. The Marlins, the Tigers, the Giants, the Orioles, the Pirates, the Padres, and the Royals.
That's bad company.
So there's no like items. There's no like items. Which of these 8 teams doesn't belong?
Right.
The damn Cubs don't belong.
Right.
They don't belong. They shouldn't be in that list.
That's my point, like, to say they're second. Like, to me, it's still eye-popping out of 30 teams and how much success the Cubs still had in 18, 19, and 20 that they would be eighth in all of baseball with scoring 2 runs or fewer in the amount of games. With the names on the back of those jerseys, it blows my mind.
It does. You can't. But so much of it is I've been so disappointed in certain at-bats. You know, I know look, KB won an MVP, and even then, he was a young guy, like his second year in the bigs. He would have at bats where you just go, oh my God, that's not a professional at bat. We know from Javi, he's gotten so much better. But in 15, 16, and 17, you would just say, my God, he just gave away a bat. And they were so good in 15 and 16. I think they got in a rut where they just thought, we can do this. We've been to the NLCS and we won a World Series, and this is how we're going to do it. No. And somebody should have come in. And remember how they blamed it all on who was Chili Davis? Was he the batting coach at one point?
He was one of them,
They blamed it on Chili Davis.
Right.
Right? No, it doesn't. You blame it on those guys, on the hitters, but you blame it on them in real time and say, we're going to get better or you're going to be gone.
You know, it's so funny.
And it was not enough toughness.
It's so funny, too, Mike, because we used to talk about these guys, they're not locking any of these guys up, whether it's Javi or it's Chris Bryant or any of these guys, Wilson Contreras. And now, Sylvia and I have been talking about this for a while. They're probably reveling in the fact. Tom Ricketts is probably very pleased that they didn't lock any of these guys up long term.
Yeah, it's you know, it's looking like it wasn't exactly a one-hit wonder because they you know, flirted around with getting back to you. Tommy, I hate to say this, but you know what this is, right? The 2016 Cubs and the 1985 Bears.
We have that song.
Because the 84 Bears, God knows, the 84 Bears, the only team they couldn't have beat that year was the team they didn't beat, which was the 49ers. And, of course, in 86 and 87, those losses to the Washington football team, which haunt me every day of my life that I lived there, those losses were inexcusable, really. 10-0 leads in both those games, if you think I don't remember this stuff.
Hmm.
And so the Cubs, they're sort of that. I think the toll of winning was greater than we understood. The exhale they took when they won, the pressure on them to win, and it was greater than it was on the 84 and 85 Bears. I mean, 63 to 84 ain't the same as, you know, to 2016. But the pressure was just enormous on those two teams, and they delivered with true greatness, like all-time greatness. And then they were like, done. That's how we're going to have to look at this. The PS has already pretty much been written. I know that Javi and KB and Rizzo, they're still there. I still cheer hard for them. They're going to walk into a restaurant in Chicago for the rest of their lives and be getting a standing ovation, and they earned it. They earned it. I'm not trying to diminish any of it. But I think those two situations are so very similar that they were out of gas. The moment they won that thing, the moment people marched around Chicago on November 2nd, 2016, they were done. And so I just think that, we may be looking at a start over here again.
Yeah, hang in there, Michael. I now, going to break, I want to play you this song, too, because we had a song during our holiday parody song contest that did the comparison of the 85 Bears and the 2016 Cubs. We'll talk to you about the Bulls. Take a listen to this, and we'll have more with Michael Wilbon.
Oh, the Cubs are like the 85 Bears. Had hope for their futures, but now they'll be losers for 35 years. Oh, the Cubs are like the 85 Bears. Championship parades once every four decades for all the fans in Chicago. Bears got no Tom Brady, Cubs won't be the Yankees, no World Series or Super Bowls. Oh, the Cubs are like the 85 Bears. The McCaskies and Ricketts will still sell you tickets, but won't sign good players. Oh, the Cubs are like the 85 Bears.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
By the way, the White Sox have set their rotation. Today's game has been postponed. They're going to play one tomorrow, two on Sunday, and then that morning game in Boston for Patriots Day. The pregame on Monday will start at 10 a.m. So Dylan Cease has been reinstated, the White Sox have announced. He will start the opener tomorrow. Then they will get Keuchel in the second game and TBD in the second game of the doubleheader. And then Giolito will pitch the Monday morning game. They're going to get Rodon in extra days rest now that they had the postponement and his next start after the no-hitter.
Maybe they go with one of those bullpen games.
We'll see. And they're going to get Rodon goes against Cleveland. That's his next start because it was supposed to be this weekend, I believe. Michael, before we get to the Bulls, the weird Bulls, did you get into the White Sox at all? I know you're a Cubs fan. You grew up on the South Side, though. Rodon with a no-hitter was a pretty special moment.
Oh, I did get into it. By the way, is my volume okay? Can you guys hear me okay?
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, good. I did get into it. And listen, I've always watched the White Sox. And some years more closely than the Cubs. I didn't just grow up on the South Side, although I wore a jersey that, you know, most of them said Ernie Banks Ford when I was a little leaguer, the Cubs, and a Cubs fan primarily, but not exclusively to the point where I don't pay attention to the White Sox. For one, I grew up with a father who was a White Sox fan. So, you know, you don't ever lose that entirely. I paid quite a bit of attention to the White Sox, and I was dying to see a perfect game. I mean, I not only turned on late, I wasn't watching the whole game. But I was really, really hoping that he'd throw that perfect game. I don't think I've ever watched even live, even it could have been, 23 perfect games in Major League Baseball history. I don't think I've ever seen the end, like the last few innings of one. Mm-hmm. And so I was, for selfish reasons too, but I was hoping that, that he was able to complete it. Too bad he wasn't.
Are you watching the Bulls these days with the same degree of, pit in your stomach watching?
No, it's not pit in my stomach because it was pretty early. It was pretty evident they weren't going to fulfill my little dream of them making the playoffs. And even when they made the trade, which I still like, when you look at the schedule, didn't I text you guys one night and say, look at the schedule?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bulls have no chance because you know when you make that kind of deal, you're going to have to go 1-5. And then there was no way to bounce back when they had the schedule they had. So, you know, and now you've got, you know, Zach out. So the best thing that can happen with them, and their pick is protected through 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that can happen is have the kind of luck, the lightning bolt of luck that the Bulls had hit them in 2008 when they were able to move from the 9th spot to 1 to draft Derrick Rose. I think it was 9th to 1. It may have been worse than that. But that's what, you know, you start hoping for now. Maybe they move up to 1 or 2 and they get to draft Cade Cunningham, or more importantly to me, they get to draft Suggs or somebody that is a difference maker, and you add to that ensemble, and then you come back next fall with a full scheduled training camp where you've got Zach LaVine and Vucevic being able to sort of, you know, learn how to play together, not on the fly, but with a training camp and being coached that way. You figure out who your support players are, what their roles are. Do you have Thad? Who do you have? And so this season, the rest of it is not lost. It's lost in that they're not going to make the playoffs. But it's not lost in trying to figure out how to get into next season with a better team, better players, and more optimism than we've seen from that team since, say, 2012.
Hey, Michael, I was always impressed with Tibbs, that players got better under him. And then there was always the internal fighting of that front office. Hey, give the players more credit. It's not just the coach. But whatever reason it was, whoever they brought in under Tibbs blossomed. So what I'm worried about as a Bulls fan, especially on the heels of me bashing Boylan, is that right now, before Zach went on the COVID list, there was no competitiveness in the way they're playing defense. The effort level has dipped. None of their guys have gotten better under Donovan, Michael. And
I totally disagree. I would vehemently disagree.
Who's
with
gotten
you
better?
About that.
Who?
Zach had his best season ever.
Zach
had his best season.
He's already good. I'll give you that. But I'm talking about guys like Wendell Carter. You've got a punt on him.
That's why they got rid of him.
Kobe White, Markkanen. All these guys have taken huge steps back, and they were supposed to be developed.
No,
yes, they have.
No, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, Sylvie. You can't say Coby White's taking a step back. No, he has not.
Oh, my now, gosh, Michael. He doesn't look like he knows how to play basketball right now.
They've all taken a step back since the trade. I'm talking about from the opening of the season through the night before the trade. The reason we know Wendell Carter wasn't in their plans and Markkanen wasn't either because they tried to get rid of him for a week. So those guys weren't in the plans, and that's why they got rid of Carter, and they're not. They can't possibly sign Markkanen to a max. So they know, they agree with us. Those guys aren't getting better. That's why they're trying to get rid of them. That's why they got rid of them. There's zero chance I'm going to agree with you that Coby White didn't get better. And we know Zach LaVine has had his best season ever until the trade. You have to stop at the trade. Look at the season he's had until the trade. So you got four or five guys, and the three important ones, they got better, period. And if you think I'm crazy, call up a scout and ask him if those three guys didn't get better until the trade. Now, the trade set everybody back as it was going to, but they would go into the next season having to feel much better in training camp about themselves. We're not talking about Wendell Carter. It was time to get rid of Wendell Carter, and it was time to get rid of Markkanen. They weren't able to get rid of him for a return that they found reasonable, but you think they're going to sign Markkanen to a max contract?
No, I don't.
Mike, there was talk that the Bulls were interested in Lonzo Ball. Would you like to see them add him?
When that was going on, Tommy, I looked at Lonzo Ball's numbers and Kobe's numbers. They were the same. They were the same numbers. Remarkably the same. Yes, Ball is always going to have an assist or assist and a half more. He might have even had two more than Kobe. Kobe's shooting was better than Ball's. We know that. I don't know that they need both of them. Because if they go out and get Ball, then Kobe's going to have to come off the bench. And ultimately, it's okay for a guy at his level to come off the bench on a really good contender to be the sixth man. That's fine. You need a terrific sixth man. But at this stage of development, I don't know that you need both of them. I haven't sat around thinking about Ball after they tried to get him. And clearly, the Bulls didn't want to give up what New Orleans wanted to get Ball here. So I don't know where that might be going in the future. But again, Markkanen has already done this after the trade. He had some nice games, right? 20 this, 20 that, had a 30 in there, 30 piece in there. And then he comes back the next night and plays 27 minutes and have 5 points. And you're like, you know what? I've seen enough of this guy. I've seen what he's going to do. He's going to give you this at least until his 10th or 11th year in the league when you do see some guys who all of a sudden understand their role and they can really get in tune with it better. I don't want to have to wait 7 years for that for him. So they got some personnel matters to take care of. But Vucevic and Zach LaVine are not those guys. They need to put those guys out there. Zach LaVine, period, no argument, has had his best season of his career.
That's true, right. I just, and we could continue this later because we're up against the clock, but I can't fight you on the since the trade thing, but I do wish that Kobe was a little more aware of the surroundings and being a better basketball player after the draft.
Agreed with you on that. Since the trade, they've been a disaster.
Yes.
So I agree with you on that. Totally, Sylvie, but I think we have to anticipate some slippage with the trade, given Vucevic, he's not a guy who's going to shoot it 8 times a game. He needs to give you that 24 and 12, and that takes Ball. You know, he's got the ball in his hands some, and he's got to learn how to play with Zach, and that doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, Michael, great stuff. Thanks, Mike. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next Wednesday, okay?
All right, sounds good. You bye, guys. Be well. Have a great weekend.
You too. There's Michael Wilbon, who normally joins us Wednesdays at 5. We missed him this Wednesday, so we had him on today.
He's also joins us courtesy of Design First Builders. Before you remodel, design first.
All right, so we have added another tally into the Cubs 0, 1, or 2-run games. Another game with just 2 runs. Their biggest offense today was the hit-by-pitch. They lose to the Atlanta Braves. They strand, and to just put the exclamation point on it, they strand the bases loaded. Jock Peterson came up with the bases loaded as the winning run in the bottom of the 9th inning facing the lefty. Now, this is what he's wanted. He's wanted more at-bats against lefties, and he struck out to end the game. We'll talk about the woeful Cubs coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
There are a lot of times where you think you're going to act a certain way when you experience something, and then you have the moment actually happen, and you react completely differently than you thought. And that's happened with me with the Cubs so far this year. I was resigned to their fate. I was resigned to, this is it, very low expectations. I'm not going to get mad. I'm over getting mad. The more I watch this team, the more angry I get, though.
Oh, really? So ramping up the anger.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's disgusting. I think this is an absolute disgusting display of offensive baseball.
They struck out another, I believe, 12 times today. Is that correct? Another 12 strikeouts today. Everybody that got out in the ninth struck out.
The Cubs now fall to, what is it? Are they 5-8? Do I have that right? 5-8. 3-4 at home. They lose 5-2 to the Atlanta Braves. Ian Happ 1-3, 2 walks. So he had a decent day. Willie Contreras had a home run. He went 2-4.
And with the number of times he's been hit, his on-base percentage is over 41%.
Yeah, it's .413.
Yeah.
It's one of the only guys who's like doing well on base, isn't he?
Yes.
KB's not terrible, but it's not good.
He was in the mid-threes. He was .350 before the last couple games. He's now down to what, .327?
.327. KB went 0-4 today. He stranded 5. He struck out 2, and he hit into a double play.
They struck out 12 times today. Which, you know, I get, like, Rizzo, but they're not hitting the home runs.
Rizzo went 1-3 with a couple of walks. So they got on early, but they just couldn't do anything. So Happ's hitting .158, Contreras .257, Rizzo's at .182, KB's at .220, Jock Peterson's .119, Javi Baez is .191. I said to Waddle during the game, Javi's been a great baseball player. Javi is not a great baseball player right now.
Not right now.
He is not in any regard. He is so twisted. I don't know if it's the contract. I don't know what's going on with Javi. But he is so bottled up. And Jay Hayes at .205. Sogard's at .120. So the Cubs lose today 5-2, and it's another one of those games. I told the guys, I started Wilbon, the Wilbon segment with this, like eighth in baseball. There's 30 teams. The Cubs, since 18, have been one of the better teams. Remember, 18, they did make it to the wild card against Colorado. They went out. 19, they didn't make the postseason. They were in it late. 20, they won their division. 21, they're awful. But since 2018... they have the eighth most games of either scoring 0, 1, or 2 runs.
It's not good.
And they added another one today. And they were only one behind Kansas City and San Diego on that list to begin with. So who knows? Maybe they jump them.
It's not a good presentation. And you're not getting any help from Zach Davies either. His ERA has ballooned to 10.32.
Yeah, he had 4 innings today. He allowed 4 runs. He walked 3, which is
7 hits,
yeah.
4 earned runs.
So not good all the way around for the Cubs. And, you know, not only do you have a team that's right now not very good, I don't know how likable they are because they're sure belly aching a lot.
Well, guys are getting hit.
Okay, so I don't know. Like, do we know why the Cubs are getting hit? Is this just a fluke? Are they guys who crowd the plate? And Contreras got hit again today.
Listen,
four guys got hit today, and I think Wilson almost got hit a second time in the foot.
Yes.
Late in the game.
Look, when you have to look at the context of when the guys are getting hit as well. Like, there was a time where I saw Braves pitchers hit 2 Cubs batters. First of all, you've got a kid that was brought up from the minor leagues, okay? It's cold. I don't know what your grip's like out there. And you got a 4-1 lead. Why are you going to put someone on base intentionally? So my point to you is I don't see a lot of this being intentional. Like, Wilson Contreras does hang that arm over the plate a little bit. With that in mind, I still don't think that's an explanation for why the Braves or the Brewers have been hitting him as much as they have. Javi kind of, when he's, you know, leans into things, got hit in the elbow today as well. I don't know how to explain it. Again, as I said, I don't think it's being done intentionally. Like, why are you putting guys on base? Aren't you more likely to throw them strikes because they know they can't hit and knowing that they're not going to penalize you. So the last thing you're going to do is give them free on base.
I know you're right. I don't know why they'd be hitting him. Kyle Wright is the guy who started. This wasn't his first start, but he was called up from the minors. He had an ERA in baseball last year of over 5. Today, he goes 4 1/3 innings. He allows 2 runs on 3 lousy hits. Another game with 3 lousy hits. He struck out 5.
Yeah.
Struck out 5 Cubs. I want to play you David Ross from before the game. David Ross was suspended today. He did not manage. He met the media, and he talked about the suspensions. Tapera has been suspended for 3 games. I believe he's appealing his. David Ross got suspended. Borzello was suspended as well. But listen to Ross go through the suspensions and the Cubs getting hit and his frustrations, and he got salty at the end.
It's just a little confusing, I think, to me, from my seat. I have a hard time understanding it, to be honest. I've had a hard time understanding a lot of what's come down from Major League Baseball, but it's out of my control. I voiced my displeasure to the powers that be, and we'll move on. We're talking about a middle of the order bat that for us that's got hit in the head, hit in the hand up around his face. Our starting pitcher actually during that game got thrown up and in around his face. You know, since I've been here, we lead the league in getting hit by pitches, and it's not even close, the second one, and we've never intentionally retaliated, to my knowledge. So I really believe that there's just we got warnings in Pittsburgh. I hit twice, got warnings in Pittsburgh. We got warnings after we got hit, and our catcher got fined a really big amount of money for being upset with getting hit in the head and then getting hit in the shoulder. And then he got hit in the hand again the other day. Our pitcher got thrown up and in, and we threw one behind a guy's calf, and we've got suspensions and fines everywhere. That makes zero sense to me. Excuse my language.
Well, look, he knows that if the league determines that one of your pitchers intentionally threw at the opposing hitter, the manager is automatically suspended. Now, some of the other stuff, I don't know what's going on either. I don't know why they're getting hit so
often.
Why
are they getting picked
on? I don't know.
I mean, I don't
know. Again, like, if I look at today's game and I see what's transpiring, I can't sit there and tell you that it's intentional, because why in the hell would you put a light-hitting team, give them free passes for guys on base?
Right. It's just like walking guys.
Right.
So here's Ryan Tapera. He's the guy who threw at the Brewers pitcher. It was Woodward, right? Is that who it was?
Woodruff?
Woodruff, I mean. Yeah. Woodruff was the one who got he didn't get hit. And here's Tapera's statement today.
Instead of me just sitting here kind of beating around the bush, you know, I just want to be completely honest with regards to Tuesday's game. You know, I believe over time baseball has changed. And to be blunt, today's game of baseball has become a bit soft. You know, back in the day, matters were settled on the field. You know, one of many unwritten rules that have changed over time. I feel that, you know, typically it doesn't bode well in the clubhouse when guys are consistently being thrown at. You know, I think that what happened on Tuesday, there was no malicious intent. It was just a message that we had had enough. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, all I can do is sit here and be myself, continue to support my teammates and have their backs and play the game that I know and love.
What do you think?
I think there is. I think the game has changed in some ways, but I don't know how to respond to him. I mean, he basically told you what he did was on purpose.
Right. Now, I think one of his also arguments in the appeal is going to be that he meant to throw near him, but his control is good, and he just wanted to brush him back. Like, do you get suspended for a brushback pitch? He didn't hit him. He went low. He didn't hit him. And he just wanted to send a message, stop throwing at us.
Well, if he's going to live by the old rules of the old West in baseball,
why are you throwing behind a pitcher? Why aren't you hitting a position player?
And Contreras, that's the weird part, too, is that Contreras, in that game, when he hit the home run and everything happened, said that the Cubs, what he told Woodruff was, look, we did it wrong. We shouldn't have thrown at the pitcher. We should have retaliated.
You're just asking.
I mean, you're asking for them, right.
You're asking for them to continue to throw at your guys when you're throwing at their pitcher.
It's crazy. So I want to get your thoughts on the Cubs. 312-332-3776. I got a couple more fun things for you, too. We've got a full Bleck and Abdallah show coming up in 15 minutes.
All the bells and whistles.
Tonight. So a lot of fun next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Talking some Cubs, my mom just texted me, too. She's not happy. Yeah,
she's pissed.
She said, I feel bad for Ross. I now think these players are done. No spark at all. Suspension? Ridiculous. So I don't know if she thinks the suspension for Ross was ridiculous.
Well, the suspension for Ross, though, is protocol for the Major League Baseball rule book, right? Isn't it?
Don't talk to my mom that way.
Well, I'm not trying to be a wise ass. I'm just saying that I think, unfortunately, when your pitcher is pinched for intentionally throwing at an opposing hitter, I believe your manager automatically gets suspended.
Let's take some of these Cubs calls. Cubs lose today, another game with only two runs. They do that well these days. Richard is in Des Plaines. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Richard?
Hey, it's great that I got on there with Tommy still on there.
Very nice.
Hey, I miss those Hawk Autos, oh wow, things, those old commercials you guys used to have on there for Tommy.
Wait a second. Johnny's like 18 years old now.
Whoa, Tom Waddle.
Okay. That's right, Johnny.
Yeah, let's get on the Cubs thing here. Why can't the fans do what old Uncle Lou did with when Baez came up with try not to suck? Wouldn't the Cubs, if they had a lot of fans wearing those shirts, wouldn't they try to be a little bit hard, play ball harder?
Inspire your baseball team, Sylvie. How do you inspire your baseball team? That's what Richard's just saying. Richard is saying maybe if you wear one of those shirts that say try not to suck.
Well, and it's Joe. He said Lou, right? Yeah. Didn't he say not Lou Piniella? It was Joe Maddon. Try not to suck. I really believe that Joe Maddon had a good culture for Javi to thrive in. Javi's one of those guys who thrives with a lot of rope. And I think he felt, I think Javi's all screwed up upstairs right now, mentally. I don't think Javi knows. He doesn't know how much he's going to get paid. He wants to know how much he's going to get paid. He slumped last year.
He does know that the equation is if you keep doing this, you don't get paid as much, right? He is aware of that, here's his pay. Like, potentially, it keeps going like this. The more you swing at that 52-foot curveball that's 10 feet out of...
It's a simple solution, guys. Once we get to 50% capacity, Javi will be fine.
Oh, you think
he's waiting to put on a show?
Well, I thought wasn't it about the video? Like, they're letting him watch the video.
Well, first it was the video,
days.
And now he needs the fans.
He's not watching the right video. Maybe he's like, I don't know what he's watching. What is he watching?
I don't.
Don't watch videos of any other Cubs at bats.
Have a witty comeback for you. I'm sorry.
No, okay. Well, he's your guy.
Our buddy George in Old Town. Georgie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Quickly you bailed on him, Abdallah.
The Urbanator. You did. You bailed on
your guy.
You loved Javi, Abdallah.
Listen, I still love Javi. Javi's got the nice little tuft of hair. He's got the big chains. But guess what? He leaves the swag in the Toyota. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
his bat and his swag.
You can't drip when you're batting 120.
Oh, boy. What's up, Georgie?
Hey, guys. You throw a Contreras in the head. The guy should have immediately been thrown out of the game, that pitcher. If you hit somebody in the head, you're either going for their head or trying to brush them back. If the ball didn't curve, he should have been thrown out. I'm pissed off at this at the Major League. They are not controlling the situation, and this is going to get out of hand. It's going to get totally out of hand.
Well, what do you mean, like, out of hand?
And they did the same thing to Chris Bryant when they threw at him and screwed him up for a whole season, for God's sakes.
Are you mad at your baseball team at all, though?
No.
No, I'm not mad at the baseball team.
They can't hit.
They're going to be fine. They're 5-8. The Braves are 5-8. You guys are just, you know, you're putting too much in the beginning of the season. They'll be fine.
That's the biggest mistake, I think, from Cubs fans, that you're looking at this as a 12-game sample size.
Yeah, the trend is not their friend. Right. This is a long sample size since 18. I gave you the stats as the numbers of games where they fail offensively, where they don't come up with three runs, games they don't come up with at least three runs, too many of them. The only teams who have done worse were the rebuild teams. It doesn't make any sense, yes. And I don't know what happened. John in Evanston, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. You know, it's pretty simple. Okay, I've caught. I was a catcher.
Oh, really?
And one of the things that the teams that I were on, when, at least me personally, when I was going bad, and, you know, sometimes looking at tape can screw you up even more because you're looking as closely as you can and you just don't see it, step back, recalibrate. Okay, refocus on where the strike zone is, you know, and quit taking stupid swings at pitches that you have no business swinging at, and look from the middle of the plate in, and if that pitch is where you want it, and you know you can hit it squarely, that's the one you want to stroke.
Give us your highest level as a catcher. We used to do the old credentials. How high did you make it as a catcher?
Okay, through high school and junior college, and I tried to make it on to a 4-year team. I was good enough to be the backup, but they didn't think my arm was quite strong enough. But I knew how to block pitches, and I knew how to work with the pitchers, and I had a sense of humor with the pitchers, so I knew how to keep them loose.
Candlesticks? Yeah. You think we should get some candlesticks? That's what? The pitch, the deal line for Bull Durham, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
You know what? The thing I would always tell a hitter after my pitcher hit him, I'd step in front of him and go,
"Get your ass to first."
No, you know what I'd say to him? I'd kind of just smile at him and go, "Come on, the number 8 hitter, he's going to hit you and get to the pitcher. Think about it."
All right, John, have a good weekend.
Then he'd come after you, John. Number 8 hitter. I'll show you number 8.
Who
hitter.
Would have known that John was a
catcher?
Yeah.
I did
good,
not know.
Good,
that.
Good yeah. Baseball player.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, no Sox game tonight.
Nope.
They had a
snowing in Boston.
Yeah. So they wiped that game. They banged it early.
They banged
it. As Waddle predicted. And we will have one game tomorrow, two games on Sunday. They will play a two game doubleheader, 7 inning games.
And then a 3 games on Monday.
No, they're playing a morning game. That's the cap special, where you wake up, you have a cup of coffee, and you try to win a baseball game, right?
Can you imagine playing a triple header?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It would be.
I'd like to see that.
I mean, not Major League Baseball.
Why?
I mean, that's a lot of wear and tear.
Can you imagine the number of strikeouts from the Cubs in 3 games in one day?
How about three?
Holy moly.
3 inning games.
No.
We've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up next. They've got the full 2-hour run as well. Call them Friday specials.
It's music night, right? Yeah. Is it music night?
No, we do song of the night every night at 6:50. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Appreciate the support, Waddle.
I'm being yelled at by somebody.
He's listening to his song of the day.
Yeah, we did. We did good question yesterday, so we've got all the rooms. No guest free. All the calls. Friday night calls. All calls welcome. Tell me anything. I got a monster headache, so let's just do this.
Ah, it's two shots at him over there.
Let's roll.
Double dose Abdallah in there. He got his second shot. He's a little banged up.
Thanks to Bleck and Abdallah. They are on in 2 short minutes. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.